Over the last few years, we've done really the great Mozart operas that everybody knows well, and those are the Da Ponte operas, the ones he did with that librettist. And those are, of course, The Marriage of Figaro, Così fan tutte, and Don Giovanni. But we've never really explored the lesser-known Mozart, and this is one of his earliest. He was only 25 when it premiered, but it has great music. And I think that the different style of this piece from The Magic Flute, which opened the season, makes it a very good counterpoint, perhaps, to the Mozart we know and love. This is a big chorus opera. There are some very powerful moments in it from the chorus, many ensembles that you can hear are the beginnings of perhaps what came later in Così fan tutte, and you will find also similarities to parts of The Magic Flute in terms of the ensemble. So what it does, the whole idea is to give us a different view of Mozart, some music we haven't heard before, and it is a San Diego opera premiere. We've never done this opera, so it's a wonderful introduction to another side of a composer we know and love. It looks more complicated than it is, because the way the story is told, it has several things going on at once. The main thrust is that Idomeneo, when he was threatened with being drowned at sea, made a pledge to Neptune that he would sacrifice the first person he saw when he came to land. The first person he turns out to see is his own son, and he realizes that to keep the pledge with Neptune, he has to kill his own heir and the future king. Well, that's a very difficult thing, obviously, for any father, and it has biblical overtones clearly built into it. So that's one part of the story. The other part is a love triangle, because his son Idamante is in love with Ilia, and Ilia is really from the other camp. She's from the enemy camp, as it were. And then in the middle of that, we have Elettra, who is in love with Idamante. So we have the Elettra, Idamante, Ilia love triangle. The upshot of everything is that terrible things happen to the city because Idomeneo will not make the sacrifice, and he realizes that he must do it to appease the gods, and when he's about to kill his own son, who is willing to let it happen because he believes it's necessary, Neptune's voice is heard saying, "I forgive you, you're off the hook, you don't have to kill your son, but you must step down and let him reign with Ilia as queen." So it ends happily, everybody is still alive, although Elettra has gone a bit nutty because she lost the love triangle. The choice of director for an opera is a very important one. Quite clearly, opera is music, but it is also drama. And a director of Lotfi Mansouri's experience is just a huge asset to an opera such as this, because he knows the history, he knows the traditions, but he also brings a fresh look to the work. Lotfi's an old friend of mine personally, and he's certainly worked with this company for many years, and it's great to have him back because these singers are responding wonderfully to his direction, and I think you'll find the way the massed chorus is used as well is very impressive.
This is one of Mozart's masterpieces. It's very demanding, and that's one of the reasons it's not done that often. It's what they call an opera seria, more of a classic opera, coming from Gluck and some of the other Baroque operas. And it was done for a very special theater in Munich, which at that time had some of the best resources, because, as you know, during the time of Mozart, they wrote for the courts and all that. There wasn't that much a commercial theater. And commercial theater was always the lighter things, like in Vienna with Schikaneder. Magic Flute was written for the lighter things. So
In Idomeneo, actually, chorus plays a very large part. When you look at Così fan tutte of Mozart, or when you look at Marriage of Figaro, the chorus participation is very minimal. But in opera seria, the chorus plays a very large part. And they are the people of Crete, and they're the warriors, sailors, generals, popoli, priests. They have a whole gamut of characters, and they have a very major role to play in it. And I must say that I really enjoy working with the Chorus of San Diego Opera because they have a wonderful commitment. They're excellent, and so we have a very good rapport, and they are now understanding their dramatic role and function in this piece, and they really are getting into it. The whole creation of The Storm, for example, and one of the greatest chorus pieces is the Voto Tremendo, this terrible vow, that, you know, and then the chorus, where they're being destroyed, and they're all dying, there's plague, and there's this destruction of a whole community, and they're all the sorrow that they feel about this vow that Idomeneo has made. And the chorus here is really wonderful. They re-enter into it. They really make you feel that tragedy and the emotions they go to. No, I've enjoyed working with them. They're as important as all the soloists, because they have a very important function in the whole piece. Do a production for the very first time, I very seldom write anything down on my score because I don't want to repeat myself, because I find that every time I do the piece, I have learned more from experience. I have learned things work that they don't work and all that. I like to feel that every time I do the production, I feel as if, of course, I know it and I understand it and I've directed it, but that gives me the wonderful freedom that to try to match the artists that I have, because artists are not puppets. Every one of them comes bringing their individuality, their gifts, their sensitivities. And as a director, my responsibility is really to use their tools, not superimpose something. It's like as if fitting somebody with the wrong suit. It just doesn't fit. So what you try to do then, as a stage director, I love to get to know my cast, to see their strengths and to see their kind of their styles and all that, and to mold it with this new group. So not necessarily say, it's not like one of the Broadway musicals that is just kind of standard. Like nowadays, if you want to do Fiddler on the Roof, you still have to do the Jerome Robbins staging. That's just law, you know. One time I was engaged to do Fiddler on the Roof, and when I arrived, they said, Lottie, you got to recreate Jerome Robbins. I said, you don't need me. Go get his assistant. You know, so that's the way I try to approach it. It's like as if I'm doing it for the first time. Ready, everybody?
Okay. Mary?
Yeah.
You know, it's very interesting. You have so many dramas on stage in opera, but occasionally you have a drama off stage, and this is one of those unusual events where the singer for Idomeneo, Jerry Hadley, arrived ill. We had to cancel the recital that he was going to do with Ruxandra Denosa. And finally, on the weekend before the opening night, Jerry said, I'm really not recovering fast enough. I think I should be released from this so that the production's integrity can be maintained. He was not confident he would be well enough for the opening night, and it's not fair to him or to his colleagues, he felt, to insist that he continue working. And we understood, because the last thing we'd want to do is injure a singer's voice or his enthusiasm for the role. So we released Jerry on the last weekend, and he's returned home, but fortunately Scott Wyatt is available, and he takes over the role of Idomeneo. Now, Scott is a very experienced singer. And in fact, he knows this opera very, very well. He covered it in San Francisco. He knows the set, so he knows his way around the geography. And having worked all of this week on the production, he has settled in wonderfully well.
la real sposa mirante in questa della copia un don del cielo servato a voi.
Filomeneo, who does that? And what is that? I've never even heard of that show before, and I teach music history. I mean, that's how rare a show it is. And when I did do a little research on it, I found that it, if I recall correctly, it's one of Mozart's first well-known operas, or one of the first operas he achieved some acclaim for. And there was maybe one or two other people in the world that knew the role, but were busy doing other jobs. So I was the only one available in the world that knew the role. So that's how I'm here. Type of character or individual that he has just come back from the Trojan War, and he's obviously extremely perplexed and exhausted, and facing Neptune on the sea, who's about to take him and his crew's life. He's left with one decision, and that is to make a vow to kill the first man he sees to allow him and his crew to survive across the shore. And of course, he runs into his own son as the first man that he comes across. Very similar to the story in the Bible between Jephthah and his daughter when he makes a vow to God. Similar situation. I teach music history back at the college where I'm at, and there were a lot of levels in history where you had the text being more important in an opera, and then the showing off of the human voice being more important, and then the constant contrast. And Handel brought out a lot of the showing off of the instrument, and I think Mozart picked up on some of that in some of his earlier operas, such as this one. And it has a beautiful story, too, and it's very powerful. But if you noticed in Idomeneo's second aria, there's just so many runs. And, you know, so many runs you almost forget the word that he's saying because he's just singing so much. And you're saying the same thing over and over and over again and trying to find a way to show each of those levels of turmoil that he's in is hard to do. It's a very difficult role in that regard. Probably my favorite moment in the opera is kind of at the climax of the opera where Idomeneo is just about to take his son's life. Actually, just a few moments before that, where his son has come in from victoriously killing the beast, and some of the music that Idamante sings there is just unbelievably beautiful and powerful and so stately. I think that's what makes it so hard for Idomeneo to kill his son, because he would make the perfect king, because he put his own life in jeopardy to save everyone else's by killing this giant beast. And then he comes and puts his head on the block and says, "Take my life, because the people are more important."
Idamante is a beautiful role. It's a very positive character. It's a young hero. He is, I think he is very much a romantic hero. You know, he has everything that a romantic hero needs. He has courage, he has dignity, he has greatness in his heart. He is capable of wonderful, beautiful love, of selfless love. The people of Crete are happy people because they're going to have a very nice king. To sing a male character, Pan's role as we call it, is a challenge that I meet very often, because for my type of voice there are many, many roles of this kind that I have to sing. Well, you know, I'm trying to approach every role from my point of view, so I'm trying to approach my role at the first person. So for a male role, I'm trying to find what's male in myself. and I find. Technically, of course, it's another type of energy, I think, that for singing a woman. It's a more direct type of energy. I probably stand differently on stage. And it's very grateful to the voice, because you really can throw yourself and sing. At least this is how I think of it. And all these characters that are men but have to be sung by women are usually young men. Idamante is something like 17. We know Cherubino in Nozze di Figaro. We know Sesto in La Clemenza di Tito. And these are only Mozart roles. Of course, we have composer in Ariadne of Naxos by Strauss, or Octavian in Rosenkavalier. They're all beautiful, beautiful male roles sung by women. And they're all very young men, so a lot of enthusiasm helps, and I think joy and energy, and here you have it, a young man.
To prepare for a role like Elektra, especially in a Mozart opera, you have to start with the music. You have to start with how difficult the actual passages are, how much you can put of a demented character into the real classical style that Mozart provides you. The part of Elektra is unusually high, and I think that when Mozart comes to those kind of characters where he wants something exaggerated, he will give you a high part. He will give you a lot of high tessitura so that you are a little bit exaggerated in terms of expression. And she's a great character. She has anything you could want to do in an opera, except for she never gets to kiss the hero. She gets to go crazy at the end. She gets to be totally in love in the middle. She gets to prepare for a great voyage. She gets to curse the gods. And you put that all together, and Elektra is one of the most satisfying parts to do of all the Mozart repertoire, and one of technically the most difficult. Sopranos and even a few tenors, we do adore mad scenes. I think it gives a moment that of catharsis. I think one of the reasons singers go into opera and singing is because we can work out some of our problems and work out the great emotions that people have in everyday life, that when you work the 9-to-5, you might not necessarily have a chance to get out there. And I think that when you have a mad scene, you're able to throw yourself into it and do something that cleanses you in a way at the end. And I also think that, of course, you know, a singer being a performer, we want to please the audience. And I think audiences really love crazy people. I mean, all you really have to do is watch, you know, NYPD or Law and Order to know that if you're crazy, we really, really like you. So I've had really good nights, and I've had really okay nights, and they still really love The Last Aria. So for me, it's probably my most favorite moment. Maestro Müller and I have known each other since my first Anna Bolena. He is one of the most wonderful conductors for singers. He sings with us. He enjoys what we do, and he augments it. He gives you more interesting things to add to what you bring.
Idomeneo is a great masterpiece. That's the first time you listen to this opera. It's difficult to understand immediately how beautiful it is. You have to listen a few times. You have to know the libretto. You have to see the scene. You have to understand the architecture of the opera. And what is very interesting, in my opinion, is that it reveals a lot how much Mozart loved and knew Italy and Italian composers. Everybody knows that with his father he made a long journey to Italy, and he had the chance to listen to many operas, to many concerts of Italian musicians, and he liked this. He even had voice lessons. Probably you don't know, but that's very interesting. He always considered himself an opera composer. Symphonies he did, the concerts, sonatas, a lot of great masterpieces, but he always talked about himself as an opera conductor. And he possessed completely the Italian language, and you can see it in the way he put in music the recits, the arias. You know, all the masterpieces, all the great composers start from somewhere. And Mozart started from where the Italian opera composers, from where Haydn, who wrote a lot of Italian operas, from where Gluck wrote French but also Italian operas, and then he developed his style. And he made it Mozart theater, Mozart music. Then he, let's say, improved. He changes in the sense of giving his personality to a kind of a construction that already existed, but he made it better. Even the recitativi, the recits, they already existed, but they were not so well defined. So every personage, every singer has his own style in the recitativi. And that's the work that we are trying to do with Lotzi Mansouri, who knows the opera so well, and I'm so lucky to work with him because it is my first Idomeneo. And the first time you do an opera, of course, you know the style, but you have to enter in it. And if you work with someone who knows it, it helps a lot. So I'm so happy and so much involved in this opera, also because I think I can do a beautiful Idomeneo for my feeling for this style. The style in Idomeneo is a little different than in Nozze di Figaro, a little different than Così fan tutte, especially different from Magic Flute that you just heard. Magic Flute is a German opera. This is a typical Italian opera on an Italian libretto by an Italian writer in the Italian classical style. And in my opinion, this is the masterpiece, the best serious opera of the Italian repertoire ever.
It's really beautiful music. They call it an opera seria, but what it is, it's actually just a modern opera. It's amazing. Just a sigh.